Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the April board meeting of the IASB. And we start out by introducing our new board member, Tom Scott from Canada, who has joined us since the beginning of this month. His immediate job prior to being appointed to the IASB was as director and professor of accounting at the School of Accounting and Finance at the University of Waterloo in Canada. And previously he has held positions of vice dean and professor of accounting at the Alberta School of Business at the University of Alberta. And Tom already has accounting standard setting experience. He served at the Canadian Accounting Standards Board between 2003 and 2011. So what we're going to do here is going to be a piece of cake. Oh. Welcome, Tom. And without much further ado, we'll continue with our agenda. And I first give the floor to Joanna for an update on the insurance project.
Good morning. We expect to issue IFRS 17 in the second half of May next month. As promised in the March 2016 meeting, we are providing an update on the supporting implementation of IFRS 17. And that's in agenda paper AP2. The first slide on slide 2 outlines what the objective is for implementation support. It is to support a high quality implementation of a new standard. And this is done by encouraging understanding of its principles and appropriate interpretation of those principles. Also, we will be tailoring implementation support according to the emerging questions received. On slide 3, we just simply lay out the tools for the implementation support that we plan to have. Firstly, is that we will, in the background of all of this, is when we will be issuing IFRS 17. We'll be issuing IFRS 17 with several documents. Firstly, the effects analysis of IFRS 17. IFRS 17 itself will be accompanied by illustrative examples and basis of conclusions. We will also be issuing a feedback statement at the same time and a project summary. So there will be quite a few published documents at the same time when IFRS 17 is issued. Putting that aside, we will also go further and set up a new website, which is a hub for the publicly available supporting material we intend to produce over the next years on supporting implementation of IFRS 17. Those possible supporting materials are webcasts. So we will possibly start off first with an overall webcast of the overall model and then discuss a series of webcasts on perhaps key concepts of the model. Other possible materials would be case studies and examples and articles. At the same time, interactions could be a useful way of supporting implementation. Meeting with those that are implementing or working with those implementing on IFRS 17 could be a useful forum for finding out the questions that are arising and also how people are interpreting the words in IFRS 17. Obviously, attendance at conference, presentations, and will again bring us into the public and we'll be discussing with the public how the implementation of IFRS 17 is going on. At the same time, there'll be public meetings. As you are well aware, we are planning a transition resource group, and we will just be discussing that in further slides. Also, we could be bringing issues to the board or the interpretations committee. I guess in slide 4, I was trying to bring together all of those tools and kind of set up how we envisage what we would do when we receive these implementation questions. So the core of that is actually on the third row. We would start off first with interacting with the submitter and doing some research and documentation about the questions received. That could be sufficient. If we decide that there could be particular questions arising on a specific area, perhaps it would be more useful to address it in supporting material. So perhaps a webcast could be issued or an article on that issue. Another layer that we have is the transition resource group, which we will discuss that, where we could be discussing these issues and again getting from the IFRS experts at the table at the transition resource groups how they are interpreting these words, which also will set the standard in terms of how those words are being looked at and understood. Slide 5 tries to draw out overall how we see implementations between May, when we issue the standard, and when the standard is finally implemented and effective. And the first row sets out how we expect the process of implementation of IFRS 17 in the marketplace, because we would expect different things at different time periods, and therefore we would need to tailor our implementation support based on the changes in the market that are happening. So the first off, when people first receive the standard in May, obviously it will take a while to digest finally the IFRS 17 with the many materials that we have published at the same time to support IFRS 17. So for a while people are just beginning the implementation process. Obviously some entities are already well off the block and have already started there and have been following the project closely. Other entities would have to start by receiving the standard or by reading the standard and coming to grips there. So we would expect in the first few months, the first 6 months or so, that it's really more in the nature of general questions. People are just, generally, how would you do this, or generally, what do you do? As time progresses and people come to grips with the general concepts, it would be starting to be, if we see the red box, where you're starting to get into more specific questions. You know, product specific it could be, or from specific jurisdictions, you know, there could be questions about how to account for a particular thing in a specific product type. It could also be contentious, where we find out that there could be differences in opinion, because now people are starting to really, the rubber hits the road in terms of jargon, cliche terms go, where they say, okay, now we understand the concept, how is it really going to be applied to this particular product type in this particular time period? At the same time, in this red paper period, we should be aware that actually there will be some entities that only start implementation in this red period, because that's when they've planned to do so due to resourcing and priorities. But in this period, you know, those who are right off the mark from May onwards, who are already serious, they'll be bringing up their more detailed questions. After 2019, we would expect that, you know, these questions would be largely resolved. And it's really then a question of building the systems and the processes to put into place IFRS 17. And then lastly, obviously, IFRS 17 is implemented. So our objective will change during these time periods, which is shown again on the third row. In the orange phrase, you know, up to about early 2019, we'll be monitoring and proactively supporting implementation, the period where we would expect general questions as well as specific questions to arise on IFRS 17. Once entities are more into the phase of actually implementing the standard and those issues have, you know, been largely resolved through lots of discussion, I'm sure, it's to provide a period of calm so that people can get on with the process of implementing. And the last row on the slide is show how we intend to meet the objective in the third row, so that we would start off slowly by, you know, monitoring the situation, being, you know, we will have an email where people could send questions that they see that is what that are happening in the marketplace in a diverse group and, you know, affects quite a range of entities. We could look at publishing, again, articles and webcasts. As people move into the more specific phases, then we would expect the TRG to take on more of a role in helping supporting implementation, because then again we have our IFRS experts around the table and we'll be discussing that a little bit more in the following slides, which moves on nicely to slide 7 onward about the role of the TRG. The role of the TRG is to analyse and discuss IFRS 17 accounting implementation-related issues. It's really to provide a public forum, so it'll be, you know, publicly available. People will be able to attend and watch the meeting. for stakeholders to learn about the new requirements from others involved right at the phase of implementation. It also will be a forum to for the ISB to be informed about the questions that are arising out in the marketplace and help the ISB determine what, if any, action will be needed to address those questions. And again, I've already talked about quite a bit about the possible tools that the board could use to address those questions. Based on our due process, you know, the board is only empowered to issue authoritative guidance, and therefore the TRG is not empowered to issue any authoritative guidance. On slide 8 is the membership and the observers. So consistent with that objective of supporting implementation, candidates should be capable of making a positive contribution in discussing implementation questions. Given the implementation focus, we think it's appropriate that the members will be from the audit firms and the preparers. We will seek a balance between different IFRS jurisdictions and expertise across the different insurance product types. We will also have observers around the table from prudential and securities regulators. We would expect a public call for members around the time of the issuance of IFRS 17.
Any questions?
This is a very good sketch of the implementation support. But I'd like to suggest some qualification criteria for composing the TRG.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are the qualification of members are very nice. However, how about adding some kind of a needs or demands of a specific maybe jurisdiction, if the such needs and demands for implementation support is very large, then we might think some members from that jurisdiction first rather than some other jurisdiction. They don't have a good demands for this kind of implementation support. So I'm saying is this is a kind of a good criteria for the members, but think about there are some kind of a demand or needs on this implementation support.
How
do you
respond to that?
So I think that the important part about the TRG is that everybody gets to benefit from the process of what's discussed at the committee, and everybody will have the ability to submit specific issues that they want to this group. So I think to the extent that identifying needs and requirements and issues, I think it's probably there's more than enough avenues open for that. My starting point would be to say that not to disqualify anybody, because I don't think we want to do that at this stage. But we ideally want those entities, those who have as much resource as possible involved in this, who can get ahead of the curve. What you want is the people who are recognizing issues earlier in the process, to bring those issues, to be able to discuss those issues and understand those issues and share their findings on what they've actually done and how they've resolved the problems. That would suggest to me almost that we're looking for people who certainly have the requirements but also have the resources to be able to get ahead of the curve. Again, I don't think we necessarily want to at this stage speculate about what jurisdictions those might or might not be. But I'm not sure I would characterize it as looking for those who need help the most, as opposed to rather saying those who have the most help to give, as might be the better organizations and or jurisdictions to target.
I'm not saying just general principle for the qualification of the members. If you'd like to help them as an implementation stage, so some jurisdiction might have a good experience already, so they might not need any kind of a support from us. However, some other jurisdictions.
Well, I think to remember that this is going to work the other way around. So let's assume you have jurisdictions that are struggling with a particular issue. Yes. They are going to submit questions to this TRG process. The TRG process then will consider and potentially discuss how you might resolve that. Ideally, you want jurisdictions in that process who have already considered the issues and said, but we can solve it by doing this or doing that, because that's the important information. And then that output is publicly available again. as part of this process. So essentially you are helping those who do need the help by providing them with, if you can call it, the wisdom or the experience from those who've had the ability to already consider those issues and move beyond them. But again, I think the diversity is important.
Yes, sure.
I think that's still one of the, that's certainly one of the considerations.
Mary?
Mine's slightly different observation again. Great to think through it this way, and I think helpful to think, as you did laid out on slide 5, about what the different phases are, because it isn't just all the same thing, you know, throughout the whole period. Drawing on, reflecting on our experience to date with the revenue transition resource group, I wanted to encourage thinking about discussions early on that don't, let's not force people to say there's a problem to get something to the table, because I think there, I saw some benefit in terms of early discussion with people saying, in effect, Tom, I'm reading this way, are you reading that way? You know, just checking that to make sure we're all starting off down the road the same way. And if we message too much that the TRG is about discussing problems people are having, sometimes people create problems where there aren't problems because they just want to have a discussion. So let's make sure that, so my thinking about our experience with the revenue TRG is to make sure that we, to think about how we can benefit by having some open discussions early on. So that's something to think about in terms of timing.
The educational aspect.
Yeah.
That could take place partly in the initial stages of TRG, but it could also take place before we even bring the TRG. And I think that's what Joanna was trying to sort of say, that the TRG is one component of many.
True.
So we can have some of those discussions and outside with different members, with different non-members, and so on and so forth.
And as Joanna said, it's going to be a large meal that's served up when the package of materials is... Yes. Is published, and allowing for a little digestion on that too is not a bad idea.
It'll be a tapas platter.
Doc?
Thank you. With respect to jurisdictional allocation, I think it should be made with the regulators and auditors as well, because if we made jurisdictional allocation only for preparers, but if the auditors and observers, regulators, are allocated to certain jurisdiction, we can't say it's fairly made up proportional jurisdictional allocation. So we have to consider auditors' jurisdictional allocation and observers' jurisdictional allocation.
May I remind you, we have 125 jurisdictions by IFRS. I don't think there will be any jurisdictions that say we will have absolutely no implementation issues at all with this easy standard. So we are not interested at all. I mean, it's going to be quite a challenge to find the right representation. And inevitably, I mean, we don't want this group to be too big, so inevitably there will be quite a large majority of jurisdictions will not be represented by this group. It's all about the process of getting feedback from our constituents. That is the more important. And indeed to get members who can be very helpful to everybody else. All right.
Thank you.